You have an insert there in your bulletins, and it has lists a number of scripture passages, lists a nice little thought process down at the bottom. And take a look at those, and they're beautiful scripture passages. Very short, very packed, and they have to do with the vibrancy of life and what we do with that. And the first passage, as it mentions, is repeated 44 times throughout the scriptures. 44 seems to be certainly a safe assumption, I would say, that God wants us to get this point, right? Absorb this message. Two simple words that form a beautiful refrain. It even forms a wonderful mantra that you can have on your for yourself. Fear not. Fear not. 44 times. Not ignoring the dangers of life, but a spiritual refrain saying, you know, when you reside in the heart and soul of God, ultimately we need not fear. Fear stops us in our tracks from living fully. The next passage is like it also, be of good courage. Another refrain driving home a message 14 times throughout the scriptures. God's encouragement, you can do it, come on. Go ahead, get out there. I gave you this life, live it, right? And then again, that's supported in Psalm 118 through this verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Take all these things, and I was just thinking about it. You know, it kind of cracks me up. People say, well, I'm not very religious. You know, like, this is it. This is it. Not something you have to do. It's not a duty to rejoice, to live without fear, to have courage. It's something we can do, though. That's our faith. And then from Proverbs, it reminds us that what we embody, that what we live is what we pass on and what we teach to future generations. And so it says, train up your children in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. So may God bless our celebration and our receiving fully of this word of abundant life. Amen. So just kind of echo this, you know, I think about our faith, and I think, you know, one of the things that I absolutely adore about our faith is that it never points us in the direction of saying, you know what, live small, back off, withdraw, shrink from life, be safe. Never, never does it say that. It doesn't say, I don't think you can do it. It doesn't say, don't take chances, it's a little risky. Not a whisper. But always, it approaches you and it approaches life itself with a posture of, this is a gift, you can do it. I know you can, I'm there for you. Don't be afraid. You have God's blessing in all of this. And that's power, you've got possibilities. So by God, literally, live to the fullest. Right? Live while you've got it. That's our faith. So the question is, how do you do that? Right? That's the question. That's your question. That's the question that you go back to again and again, really daily, conversations with God. God, how do I do that? That's your spiritual work. Now, along those lines, people, you know, we do all sorts of things wanting to live fully. Some people go skydiving, climb mountains, buy a sports car, buy a Jeep. (Laughter) Some people love to travel, you know, go out into the world, expand our horizons about, and their relationship with God's creation, with the breadth and depth of God's people. Beautiful things, you know. For some people, going big, maybe it includes, you know, getting, how healthy and how fit can I get this temporary vessel that God gave me? And kind of play with that one. Maximize it. For some people, you know, how can I be a healthy role model for others? And again, through this temporary body and soul, you know, how can I shine for others? What kind of an awesome parent can I be? How can I maximize that? Right? What kind of a difference can I make in the lives of others? How can I relieve suffering of others? And if I can't relieve it for a whole bunch of people, how can I relieve the suffering? How can I lift up just one life? There are an infinite number of ways that we can approach living this question, gift of God's encouragement. Now, then it gets to the next question, which is, you know, clearly this is the way that God wants us to live, and so it raises the question, well, if God wants us to live this way, we're God's children, God's passing this on to us, how do we pass this on to the future generations and translate this to our children with the kind of messages that we give them? And in doing that, we know, as just adults, as parents, as adults, that there are those things that we intend to teach, right? The things that we say. And then there are those things that our children learn with the indirect messages, with our life. We might not intend to teach certain things, but we telegraph anyway with everything that we do, and kids pick up on it all. Along these lines, Mahatma Gandhi said, and I've heard this before, "My life is my message." We ask, what's your message? And so with all this stuff, I think about things that my mom used to say to me growing up. And the things that she both intended to teach and all that other stuff. So there's the stuff that she said, stuff my mom used to say. You know, they're classic stuff, the stuff that comes right out of the mom's guidebook, you know, 101 standard, you know, probably heard 10,000 times. You know, she'd say, a stitch in time saves nine, right? That might be a little dated. It's classic. I don't think people really stitch anymore. I don't know, but I remember hearing that as a kid, and I'd be really confused. Like, a stitch in time saves, you know. I go, why don't you just say, you know, take care of things now before bigger problems develop, right? But, you know, she goes, stitch in time saves nine. So I'd be confused, and the fascinating thing is, you know, when you say some things in a poetic way sometimes, you know, the kids, they get confused, so they have to work it out themselves, and they try to think of it. What the heck would this mean? She'd say, busy people are happy people. And she would be scurrying along. She'd say, do it now. 10 billion times I heard that. I counted. 10 billion. Do it now, Paul. Do it now. Right? Waste not. Thank you. Oh, my God. My mom was so frugal. She was not a Yankee. She was from Maryland. But this woman was so frugal, she could stretch a gallon of milk with four kids to last a week. So we'd start out with, and it was whole milk then, you know. So we'd start out with a gallon of milk, and then as the week would go on, it would start to go down. And then boom, all of a sudden, like magic, it would be up at the top again. But it would taste different. Right? Yeah. So have you ever had powdered milk? Right? Oh, God. We just said, Mom, just please, we'd really rather just go without the milk. You know, you're not fooling anybody. She'd do the same thing with the orange juice. It would just get clearer and clearer as the week went on. But she had a budget, you know, and she would stick with that budget. And so another one I heard was, tempus fugit, time flies. She would always say those two things together. So it was like a bonus, you know, that we'd get a little Latin and a little English. Tempus fugit, time flies. So a huge thing that made an impression on me in this regard, and this was a case of not what she said, but really from what I learned. And that's this. My mom was a wonderful person. Just a terrific, a doer, right? We heard tempus fugit, do it now. Busy people are happy people. She was a saver. But she kind of saved life in some ways to be lived later. She saved doing some things for later. And you know, some of it was she had to. Let's face it, she's a mom. Moms are busy. Moms are taking care of a lot of things, right? Busy with kids. We didn't have any extra money. So when we all grew older, she went back to work. And she she was a teacher, so she started teaching at St. Joseph's College for women. I was about 10. And she went back to this, and it was a teacher's college. So she was teaching preschool there, and she was also teaching the teachers how to teach. She was a student teacher for the teachers, too. And it was right at the end of our street. And she did that for about 15 years. And let me tell you something. Having a mom as a preschool teacher is pretty fun. It's kind of a trip, because one of the things she would do is she would wake us up in the morning singing. You know, I'd be like 15, 17 years old, and I'd get, you know, good morning to you, and how do you do? We're all in our places with sunshiny faces. Oh, what a great way to start a new day. Good morning. That was like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood every morning. Oh, my God. I thought that's the way that everybody just kind of woke up, you know? Fantastic. When she was 57, she made a decision. And she made a decision, this was going to be the time for her. You know, it's just time she's going to break loose. She's going to really start living. She's going to have some fun. She had worked hard. She worked hard all of her life. She grew up on a farm. And she would wake up, and her family, one of eight kids, and they would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they would have to go out and they would milk the cows, because the cows have to be milked. And she would go to school, you know, wasn't able to do sports or extracurricular activities or something. Her extracurricular activity was when you finish school, you come home, and you milk the cows again, you do farm work, and then you do your school work, and you go to bed. And so she did this all, and then she went to college, and then she helped support my dad through college after the war. You know, she raised 4 kids. She was a great supporter of my dad in his business career. My dad used to do this, you know, the proverbial 1950s thing, I remember, that he would call up and he would go, hey, honey, listen, I got a couple of business associates. I'm going to bring them home for dinner. And how about in about an hour, sometimes a half an hour? I'm seeing some eyes popping. And all of a sudden, things would start, bam, things would start like flying in the kitchen. She wasn't throwing things. She was just like, you know, putting things all together. And it was like magic. I've never seen anything happen so fast, except when Laura puts things on. It's true. And, you know, dinner would appear, the guests would come. Perfect. So, with all this work, as I mentioned, you know, after teaching for about 15 years, so she made a decision. She was going to do some other things, and it was a good time. Came at a very good time in her life. I was the youngest of 4. I had just graduated from college. I had got my first job, and you know, got an apartment. So I was on my own. All the kids are on their own. You know, so that phase of her life is done. And they're financially free. My dad just got a nice promotion. And so she and my dad, they're going to start doing some traveling. And they'd never really done that before. And she's going to start relaxing, enjoying after all of her hard years of work. So she gave notice of her retirement to St. Joseph's College in May. And it was wonderful. And, you know, just to see her relaxed and enjoying life and happy and playful. And that was May. And 2 months later in July, they took a wonderful sailing trip. But during the trip, they had to turn back and come home because she had abdominal pains. She went to the hospital. They, you know, said, well, I think you need to have your gallbladder out. They opened her up, and as it turns out, just riddled with cancer. So we're back up. And 4.5 months later, 5 days away from her 58th birthday, she died. I learned an awful lot about through that process. So much to share with you. It shaped a heck of a lot of who I am today. Why I think the way I think, why I do the way I do. And I, you know, I admit, I might be a little skewed. But it does explain also why I like to live the way I live. Why, you know, when I was 50, I started running marathons. Why, you know, we'd go on a cross-country bike trip together. Why I like to pull out all the stops sometimes, you know. Because from my mom and from God, I learned that life, that every moment of it, that every relationship, that every morsel, it's not to be wasted, not to be taken for granted. Everything is sacred. Our time is not a guarantee. We don't have a guaranteed 84 years, and if we live shorter than that, then somehow, you know, we got a raw deal. It's not a guarantee. We don't know. Life can be fragile. Why would we waste a moment complaining? Why would we waste a moment bickering in this little bit of a finite time that we have? It's fragile, you know, we think it's so solid, it looks so solid, it seems like that. Life can turn on a dime. You know? So receive this unbelievable, precious gift of life. God says that I give you and I give it to you every day. And today is one of those days. Don't wait to start living. I learned to want less and live more. Never wait to say I love you. Don't leave that, don't leave anything on the table. If there's something that you want to do, then by God, do it. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. You know, by the way, in our family growing up, in our family today, we don't wait to say I love you. We say it all the time. And you know what? That makes things even sweeter. I learned that many people in this world, we know this, can love you deeply, but you only have one mom. And the point of life, to me anyway, is not to get through it necessarily as safely as you can, but as fully as you can, whatever that means for you. And that's your question. It's probably why I love this short little poem so much. I ask God for all things that I might enjoy life. But God gave me life that I might enjoy all things. No doubt, clearly, my mom shaped me more profoundly than any set of sayings ever possibly could. And that's what I hear clearly through our faith. Fear not. Be of good courage. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice, be glad. Live it. Love it. Be glad in it. Your life is your message. Amen. A loving God and Creator, who, as the psalmist reminds us, knit us together in our mother's wombs. This is truly a majestic, joyful day, another amazing gift of your life, God. And as a brand new day of your creation, this is a day overflowing with fresh possibilities, with new opportunities, with challenges, but with your help, with your power, with a new season, not just around us, but within us, where we can choose and choose again to say yes to you, to your offer, to your desire for us, to say yes to accepting your gift of a full and vibrant life. And as you open our awareness, open our hearts as well, that we may be filled with your new life, with gratitude. And then with our gratitude, may you inspire us to complete the circle of expressing our joy with a response of love and caring for those in need. And let us start, God, with those who we know best. Because sometimes we are too familiar, and so we may inadvertently neglect those who we love the most. And so for those we love, may our words and our actions flow of I love you, I forgive you, will you forgive me? You mean everything to me. I appreciate your work. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your strength. I appreciate your resolve. All this, that by loving those closest to us, we may then extend our hearts to love those who are one step away. And then the next. And then the next. Making our world step by step into the kind that you envision on earth as it is in heaven. And as we accept your blessings by living with this kind of faithfulness and kindness and sharing, may you bless those also who we cannot reach but hold dear, those who are far away, geographically, culturally, and even those who are far away emotionally. Those who need your healing and your strength. Those who are suffering, including ourselves. Be with them, be with all of us, Lord, that we all may be one, that we all may be well, that we all may be in your love. This we pray. Amen.